In the last session, we caught the first story in the epilogue as the writer of Judges introduced us to Micah, a disgraceful thief, and his priest, a disobedient Levite. The next chapter shifts our attention to a dissatisfied tribe. Judges 18, verse 1. In those days there was no king in Israel, and in those days the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in, for until that day their inheritance among the tribes of Israel had not fallen to them. Note the early indications of the Danites' dissatisfaction, seeking an inheritance which had not fallen to them. It hadn't dropped into their laps. Of course it hadn't. God had given them a good section of the promised land, but they had to work their way through it, clearing out the wicked Canaanites and taking possession of it. This tribe was evidently too lazy to do that. These chapters, 17 and 18, tell two stories, but here we see the linkage. Micah and his Levite appear in this second story too. Let's pick up the story with verse 2. So the children of Dan sent 5 men of their family from their territory, men of valor from Zorah and Eshtaol, to spy out the land and search it. They said to them, "Go, search the land." So they went to the mountains of Ephraim to the house of Micah and lodged there. While they were at the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. They turned aside and said to him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What do you have here?" He said to them, "Thus and so Micah did for me. He has hired me, and I have become his priest." So they said to him, "Please inquire of God that we may know whether the journey on which we go will be prosperous." And the priest said to them, "Go in peace. The presence of the Lord be with you on your way." The Dan tribe's original inheritance was in the central coastal area which they left because of the opposition of Amorites and then pressure from Philistines. They moved into the hills of Ephraim and then eventually to Laish, or Dan, in the far north. This story tells how they ended up in northern Israel. When the 5 Danite spies came to Micah's home, they recognized the Levite's voice, probably by his accent. He was a southerner. Maybe he said, "Shalom, y'all." After getting the Levite's blessing, they continued on their way. Let's pick up the story at verse 7. So the 5 men departed and went to Laish. They saw the people who were there, how they dwelt safely, in the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure. There were no rulers in the land who might put them to shame for anything. They were far from the Sidonians, and they had no ties with anyone. Then the spies came back to their brethren at Zorah and Eshtaol, and their brethren said to them, "What is your report?" So they said, "Arise, let us go up against them, for we have seen the land, and indeed it is very good. Would you do nothing? Do not hesitate to go and enter to possess the land. When you go, you will come to a secure people and a large land, for God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth." And 600 men of the family of the Danites went from there, from Zorah and Eshtaol, armed with weapons of war. Then they went up and encamped in Kirjath-Jearim in Judah. And they passed from there to the mountains of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. Then the 5 men who had gone to spy out the country of Laish answered and said to their brethren, "Do you know that there are in these houses an ephod, household idols, a carved image, and a molded image? Now therefore consider what you should do." So they turned aside there and came to the house of the young Levite man, to the house of Micah, and greeted him. The 600 men, armed with their weapons of war, who were of the children of Dan, stood by the entrance of the gate. Then the 5 men who had gone to spy out the land went up. Entering there, they took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molded image. And the priest stood at the entrance of the gate with the 600 men who were armed with weapons of war. When these went into Micah's house and took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molded image, the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" They said to him, "Be quiet, put your hand over your mouth, and come with us. Be a father and a priest to us. Is it better for you to be a priest to the household of one man, or that you be a priest to a tribe and a family in Israel?" So the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod, the household idols, and the carved image, and took his place among the people. What more do we learn about the Levite? Well, he is certainly not loyal. In fact, he becomes an accessory to armed robbery against his own employer. He's greedy. He's eager for personal gain. He's proud, a lover of status. He is, of course, no better than his employer, who himself was first introduced to us as a thief. Both of them give us a memorable glimpse into the heart trouble afflicting the national health of the people of Israel during these dark ages. Judges 18, beginning with verse 21 in the Living Bible Version. They started on their way again, placing their children, cattle, and household goods at the front of the column. When they were quite a distance from Micah's home, Micah and some of his neighbors came chasing after them, yelling at them to stop. "What do you want chasing after us like this?" the men of Dan demanded. "What do you mean, what do I want?" Micah retorted. "You've taken away all my gods and my priests, and I have nothing left." "Be careful how you talk, mister," the men of Dan replied. "Somebody's apt to get angry and kill every one of you." So the men of Dan kept going. When Micah saw that there were too many of them for him to handle, he turned back home. Look again at Micah. The idols he had made with such pride and at such cost were completely unable to help him in this time of trouble. Psalm 115, verses 4 through 8 reminds us why. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. It is one of the lessons God intends His people to learn from the sad record of the judges. When we turn our backs on the living God and set our affections on idols of any sort, we will discover sooner or later the frustration of having forsaken the fountain of living water, as God declared in Jeremiah 2:13, the Living Bible again. "For my people have done two evil things. They have forsaken me, the fountain of life-giving water, and they have built for themselves broken cisterns that can't hold water." We also see here the effect that one person's sinful action can have on others. Micah's sin of idolatry quickly spread to infect a whole tribe of Israel. Judges 18, beginning with verse 27. So they took the things Micah had made and the priest who had belonged to him and went to Laish, to a people quiet and secure. And they struck them with the edge of the sword and burned the city with fire. There was no deliverer because it was far from Sidon, and they had no ties with anyone. It was in the valley that belongs to Beth Rehob. So they rebuilt the city and dwelt there, and they called the name of the city Dan after the name of Dan, their father, who was born to Israel. However, the name of the city formerly was Laish. Then the children of Dan set up for themselves the carved image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. So they set up for themselves Micah's carved image which he made, all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. Notice how this chapter, chapter 18, opens. Verse 1 told us that this tribe was seeking an inheritance for itself. And now see how the chapter closes. They set up for themselves the carved image. A sad phrase found twice here in both verses 30 and 31. Covetousness leads to idolatry. It did 3,300 years ago, and it still does today. So here's a summary of what we've seen. Gary Inrig calls these stories spiritual junk food that lead to destruction. Micah's story is the junk food of self-made religion. The Levite story is the junk food of self-seeking service. And the Danite story is the junk food of easy living. They chose to move to an easy place rather than fight God's enemies in the place of their original inheritance. And the love of ease and the worship of idols went together. The narrator adds a very significant phrase at the end of the story. They worshipped Micah's image all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. Irving Jensen wrote, "It is as though God, with grieved heart, were patiently waiting in His forgotten house at Shiloh for Israel to return from their idols, their man-made priests, and their own inventions, to do His holy will, adore and worship Him." So, here is the story of a man, Micah, and a tribe, Dan. Micah wanted God's favor and set up idol images to help him get it. The Danites wanted more land and stole images to help them get it. For Micah, the end result was frustration. He returned to his house without his God. For the tribe of Dan, the end result was separation. They lived in a new land, worshiping new gods at their new city of Dan. They have separated themselves from God and from God's people. And that initial crack widens into a grand canyon before their history is done. They appear successful here, but when you trace the later history of the tribe of Dan, the tragic truth comes out. This tribe, which started out by not being satisfied with what God had provided for them, slipped further down sin's slippery slope to stealing and worshiping Micah's idols, and then eventually graduated to worshiping the golden calf set up in their city by King Jeroboam, an easy thing to do after worshiping Micah's idols for years. Hundreds of years later, when the Assyrians invaded Israel, the Danites were among the first to be hit, and they disappear into obscurity. And by the time we get to Revelation chapter 7, the tribe of Dan is not included at all in the listing of the 12 tribes. We have seen here God's formula for frustration. And what is it? To do what is right in our own eyes. We can do it like Micah. We can try to control God or manipulate Him into blessing us according to our desires. We may worship Him, but on our own terms, not with dedication or sacrifice, making sure that our worship doesn't interfere with our comfort. Or we can be like the Levite, having no sense of loyalty to God or our employers. And rather than making decisions based on God's truth, we decide on the basis of what is most attractive to us, letting our desire for status run roughshod over the feelings of others. Or perhaps we may sometimes be like the Danites, dissatisfied with what God has given us and taking matters into our own hands to get what we want by the easiest way possible. These were God's people trying to live successfully with the three-letter word, but. Henri Nouwen put it in modern terms when he wrote, "I love Jesus, but want to hold on to my own friends even when they do not lead me closer to Jesus. I love Jesus, but want to hold on to my own independence even when it brings me no real freedom. I love Jesus, but do not want to lose the respect of my professional colleagues even though their respect does not make me grow spiritually. I love Jesus, but." What is it in your case? In my case?